Hello and welcome to another edition of Selmer Live and Logical on 91.5 WRPI Troy, the primogenitic home of high technology. We're configured slightly different here, aren't we, Alan?
Yes, we are.
Because
and
we're
for good reason.
Because we're taping the show in more ways than one, video and audio.
How exciting.
Yes. And you didn't shave for the occasion. I mean, I am really...
I didn't realize that this was the inauguration of the videotaping.
Well, I never do anything telling you in advance what I'm doing. You should know that by now.
I do. But, of course, that makes it impossible to plan for anything.
That's true, but spontaneity is sort of the muse we have going here.
Yes,
it is. It drives the whole thing. In fact, you have cards that are in preparation for the show tonight?
Yes, some thoughts.
Now, what did you think the topic of the show was tonight?
I thought, based on... your verbal agreement, however, in retrospect, perhaps I should have asked for written agreement, that today's topic would be about smoking. Not about whether it's a wise thing to do or not, but about the legislation which tries to restrict smoking.
Okay. I guess I'll stick with smoking. I'll go with that. But you really thought we were going to restrict it to the legislative aspects? I thought we could cover everything in an hour.
We can cover
it. Do it all.
We can cover everything in an hour, but okay. I would imagine that we agree on the wisdom or lack thereof.
Right. Well, you started. Your cards indicate that you have prepared more assiduously than I have, so you start things off. And that's what Devin said before we went on air here, that he could play me easily by just spouting long words. It's all it takes. A wonderful compliment to play me before we go on air. But you start things off. You did some of the preparation. So what do you want to talk about first on this topic?
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention that I am not a smoker.
Never?
Never.
You've never smoked?
Never.
You've never even tried a cigarette?
No.
Never tried a cigar?
I have tried a cigar.
Well, okay, don't lie on air. Have you ever tried a pipe?
Why not?
I do it all.
Following your lead.
Oh, I lie a lot on air.
Lie is a harsh word.
It is a very harsh word.
I prefer to call it fabrication of falsehood.
Now, you wouldn't count the time I played Pat Buchanan as even something approaching mendacity.
No, not at all.
Okay, good. So you sampled a cigar once.
Yes.
But you never even tried a cigarette.
Correct.
What about a pipe?
I have sampled a pipe as well.
Just sampled?
Yes.
How many times have you said? Once a week?
No. Once, perhaps twice in my life.
In your life?
Yes.
You didn't stick with it. You didn't like it.
I didn't especially dislike it, but I didn't find anything particularly pleasing about it.
Mm-hmm. So, can you understand even then why someone might want to
certainly
smoke on a regular basis?
Of course. It's a drug and you're addicted to it.
Hmm. That's not why I did it. I smoked a pipe for a long time.
And why did you do it?
Why did I smoke it or why did I stop smoking?
Why did you smoke it?
Well, I kind of liked the smell of the tobacco smoke that I would inhale. Not directly
that.
Inhale, but just sort of in the room. I kind of like that. I smoked a real sugary tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
It was, connoisseurs would regard it to be a thing of, crass proportions, but I liked the way it smelled. And that's why I did it. And, of course, I'm a philosopher, so I thought it fit, with being a philosopher. Little did I know, it sort of confirmed everyone's worst suspicions about the idiocy of being a philosopher. But that's why I did it. And I might as well share how it all ended for me. I actually had invested a serious amount of money in a very good pipe on the recommendation of someone who was a true pipe aficionado. I went out and bought this thing, and I didn't have much money at the time. I was a student. And I was smoking it and philosophizing, and I remember this vividly, in sort of the outer hallway of my dorm room at Penn. And I got a little bit excited about the argument. That's something in the argument, and I dropped the pipe. It hit the floor, and the thing broke. I mean, it broke. That was the end of my pipe, the investment down the drain, and I swore from that moment on I would never again smoke in any form.
I see. Perhaps the conclusion would be only smoke in carpeted rooms. But not, so that's interesting. So the reason you stopped smoking was not for any health or safety reasons, but merely because you lost your investment.
I did not want to invest. I didn't think it was worth investing another wooden nickel in this behavior.
But I don't understand. Isn't it possible to have purchased a cheaper pipe?
Well, I could have, but the fact is I didn't.
Yes, but you just
claimed
that
the second time as a replacement for the first one?
Yes.
Yes, but my reasoning at that point was any investment, no matter how infinitesimal, would be a bad idea.
Why is that?
Because I didn't derive that much enjoyment from it. I mean, one, if you had told me, here's another pipe, but you have to pay me one penny, and you have to expend one calorie per week on just loading the thing up and using it, I would have said, no, it's not worth it. I mean, it was a wash about at the time I was doing it. I mean, I was ambivalent. It was a wash. The slightest negativity put me over the edge.
Would your opinion have been different if you had not invested in the expensive pipe?
Yeah, if I had been able to do all of the things.
So there's nothing inherently wrong in your mind with pipe smoking. It's just that you made the mistake of investing too much money in a piece of materials, which you then proceeded to break.
What we're not talking about, though, is how often I smoked it, how I smoked it, etc. I was trying to minimize the health risks from smoking the pipe.
I see.
And the way I did that was only I didn't actually ever stick it in my mouth.
You must have to puff on it.
That's the thing. I knew that puffing would be bad for me,
so I
didn't really puff.
So you would light it.
I'd do it once to light, and then I'd sort of let it linger, and then I'd take maybe one or two puffs, you know, in an hour, and I'd let it sort of hang out here and hold it and that kind of thing. It would always go out, and, you know.
I believe that it would go out if you didn't take a puff, you know, every 30 seconds.
Well, you see, that was the problem also.
I see.
It kept going out.
So this wasn't a very well thought out plan of yours to invest in the
this is actually before I sort of realized I wanted to study logic in earnest.
I see.
This is actually before I existed. This was prior to sort of the Selmer as you know him today.
Selmer? Was there such a being?
No, I was neutral, sort of. I liked logic. I'd even studied it a bit, taken the classes.
Neutral.
I liked it. I wasn't illogical. I wasn't...
Someone once told me that all propositions are either true or false. There's nothing in between. How can someone be neither logical nor illogical? I'd like you to enlighten me on that issue.
Well, see, I said that propositions are binary, but there are some predicates which cover a continuum. And I was somewhere sort of like a salty hamburger. I mean, you know, if you put one grain of salt on a hamburger, it doesn't make it a salty hamburger. But you stretch it down far enough with enough grains, and it's sort of unclear which it is.
Well, but then if you were not logical, how could you also, at the same time, not be illogical?
Let me put it more precisely. That was a point in time when I had not yet decided to actively pursue the field of logic.
Yes.
Okay, nor had I decided not to pursue it. Now, you must grant me that there can be neutrality with respect to a decision, that is to suspend a judgment. And that doesn't do any violence to the law of the excluded middle in connection with propositions.
I agree with
that. All right, let's leave it at that. All right? So I don't
think that addresses my initial question, but fine.
Well, I've changed the subject, basically, and that's a very effective maneuver.
Well, it's effective if the other person doesn't realize that. But I realize that, but I'm happy to let it go.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to let it go because I want to say instead that I misspoke. And I was not speaking carefully enough when I said earlier that I was both P and not P, or both F and not F. What I really meant was it was a point in time where I was suspending my decision, okay? Then sooner rather than later, I decided that I was going to get serious about this logic and philosophy stuff, and the rest is history. Now I am reduced to making videotapes in sort of studios in which nothing works, so...
Well, I still don't buy it, but fine.
Right,
let's
okay.
Drop it.
Smoking. So what else about smoke?
So my problem is not that people choose to smoke. I mean, that's a decision that they can make. I came down for my personal purposes on the decision that it's not something I want to engage in. But if other people want to engage in it, it seems to me that they should not be prohibited or restricted from engaging in a legal activity which the government, if not explicitly, at least tacitly supports.
And what makes you say the government tacitly supports this behavior?
Many things. I mean, it has been well known that it's hazardous to your health for the last 30 or 40 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, Liggett Group, you know, all of these huge tobacco manufacturers, do you think they could have existed and prospered for 30 or 40 years without government support? If the government had was really desirous of mm-hmm. alerting people to the hazards of smoking, they would have either made cigarettes illegal, they would have spent more money on publicizing the, mm-hmm. the dangers of smoking. They wouldn't have put excise taxes on it to help government coffers and help senators and congressmen from North Carolina.
Tobacco-producing districts.
That's right.
No, I agree with you. I was just asking sort of out of curiosity. But my real concern is why you would ever think the government's tacit endorsement of some behavior implies that it's acceptable. I think smoking is a terrible idea, grotesquely illogical. No one should smoke, and no government should be in the business of endorsing either tacitly or explicitly such behavior. I would take the government out of endorsing it as quickly as I possibly could, and I would encourage any and all people who smoke not to smoke because it's basically a stupid thing to do.
I have no disagreement with that.
Okay, well,
But as long as it is a legal product, and people are...
What was legal in Nazi Germany? Suppose that in Nazi Germany it was legal to, shoot your neighbor. Does that make it okay? You say that it's okay people can shoot their neighbors?
No.
The government's got some bad laws.
I'm the first to sign on to that.
But you're also the first to profit from it occasionally. You were. I've got, look at that. speechless.
I mean, yes, it's true that lawyers profit from it. But why do lawyers profit from it? Because there is value to that service.
No, I agree.
They are providing individuals with escape from the harmful effects of the bad laws.
That's true. And I would be the first to call upon you to escape from some situations that I might get myself into by saying incendiary things, for example, on the airwaves.
Yes.
Like that everybody who smokes is stupid.
Well,
but I figure if Alan Shartok can basically call Governor Pataki the next Hitler, I think I can say
that
smoking
is stupid. And then
invite
him onto a show.
Yeah. Very calculating mind. Okay.
So my problem is that the government wants to have its cake and eat it too. Hmm. I would have no theoretical problem with calling it a narcotic and making it illegal to possess it, sell it, whatever. At least that would be consistent with the prohibitions on smoking in office buildings or smoking in restaurants which have more than 15 patrons.
But the government is not consistent, alas.
But the government is not consistent, alas.
So what do we disagree about, if anything?
Well, I think that given the government's position, that these special interest groups, have got a bee in their bonnet. Yes, smoking is the most evil thing since the dawn of mankind, and we have to prohibit it. Let's take out, four-page ads in the New York Times, saying what a terrible idea this is.
This is not the worst thing plaguing our society, smoking?
No, I don't believe
so. This comes as a great shock to me. I'm shivering with enlightenment here. I'll tell you
my experience with this
Okay.
And why I think it's nonsensical.
Okay.
I have a very good friend who also happens to be a lawyer, works in a large office building in Manhattan.
So he or is she?
He.
So he, okay.
The office building instituted a policy prohibiting smoking inside the building. That came about 6 months or perhaps up to a year after a company-wide policy of prohibiting smoking anywhere within the firm except for designated smoking rooms. Even, yeah. I might add, in private offices with the doors closed.
Mm-hmm.
Single-occupant offices.
Okay, you thought this was a bad idea.
Yes. I think that this has extremely harmful effects on the work product of the American labor force.
Now, in particular, what you're saying is that lawyers are more productive when they smoke.
I think laborers who smoke are more productive while they're smoking.
I think a lot of people in this country wish that lawyers were classified as laborers and paid accordingly, but they're not. You're talking about lawyers. These were lawyers in the building, right?
Yes.
So you're saying that it was...
Lawyers, yes, in this firm.
White-collar workers.
Yes, but there were also blue-collar workers there.
And they couldn't smoke either,
No one could smoke.
No one could smoke. You didn't like this?
No.
Why didn't you like this?
Because...
Given what you said earlier, I would think you would think this would be a boon to the...
Because it is a legal activity.
Yeah.
Cigarettes are sold everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very popular activity. And I understand the secondhand smoke argument, but I don't understand why someone smoking in a private office with the door closed,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can even... I would understand requiring a smoke evaporator, whatever those devices are.
An air cleaner.
Air cleaner to neutralize the.
Yeah. Well, it actually traps it.
Fine.
Traps the molecules that are noxious coming through.
Fine. And then you change a filter or something.
Yeah. Fine. But okay, let me get you to consider a thought experiment. Okay. Now let me make sure I've got this correct. Big building.
Yes.
Some people wanted to engage in an activity that, namely smoking,
yes,
that the powers that be said is not good for you.
Correct.
And in fact, it is not good for
correct.
You. However, it's legal to do it.
Yes.
And you can obtain the materials involved, namely cigarettes and other associated paraphernalia.
Yes.
Tobacco, pipes, etc.
Yes.
Right?
And
is that basically the situation?
Yes, and let me add one more fact.
Don't add another relevant one.
Don't add another relevant
because
fact.
Because it may cause a problem for my thought experiment.
Well, that's why I wanted to add it.
I was afraid of that. Go ahead, add it. What?
The fact is, in my impromptu observations, it did not deter anyone from smoking. And what they
all
did...
All right, that's fine. I'll
what
let
they,
you add
what
that.
What they followed was
I'll
one of two courses.
Yep.
They either went down to the lobby, stood in front of the main entrance... And
outside, you mean?
Outside,
literally outside.
You know, in the dead of winter, they're shivering outside.
Well, that
smoking.
That doesn't bother me. As a Norwegian, they should have gone. What they should have done is gone out there in a short sleeve shirt. And
well, they were generally
all
in
right,
shorts.
That was good.
So you know, you see 30, 40 people there.
That's good.
Smoking their brains out
that's
because
good.
They want to get a couple cigarettes in before
right.
they have to ride the elevator. You know,
all right.
up
okay.
70 floors.
All right, fine.
You know, the entrance is. Completely littered with cigarette butts and cigarette paraphernalia.
All right, now here's
they smoked in violation.
I've let you spin this
before
yarn now, and I let you add this other clause to your scenario. Here's the thought experiment: you are sent to another planet where there is intelligent life to sort of inspect the behavior thereon, and you come across. What they call the workplace on this planet. And in fact, you visit a particular building in which work is being carried out. And it's something like the work that we have here. And there are people in this place of work who once in a while go into rooms where they engage in an activity called moking. Okay, it's not smoking, it's moking. Okay, and moking is basically to cause bodily harm to yourself. All right, by like either punching yourself in the face. Now bear with me, punching yourself in the face. Or putting like what's a pen-like object into your skin, and it's basically self-mutilation. All right, and then when these people are finished doing that, it's quite finished doing that. They leave these rooms and they go out and they resume their normal activity. All right, now on this planet, the objects that they use in order to moke are perfectly legal. All right.
Yes.
And
are there other purposes for these objects?
Now listen, and let me finish now.
Are they dedicated to moking?
The things required to moke are accessible. It's easy to get maybe special daggers and special knives that will just carve out and cause a little... Okay, and they love doing this, all right? And the government and the powers that be say, look, moking is no good for you. It's a terrible thing. And... We're going to ask you to remove yourself from the premises if you insist on moking, because we don't want the other workers to come into to see this grotesque behavior, which is psychologically damaging to them. It contaminates things. It hurts morale.
Why does it contaminate things?
To see people actually engage in this behavior. Let's just say it's not a good thing for people just to observe and be witness to.
Is that because they have some care for their fellow colleagues?
The specific reasons don't matter. What matters is this. It seems to me that in that situation, in this hypothetical situation, it would be advisable for the company involved to try to get a handle on this moking and get it out of the building, despite the fact that it's legal and that the objects involved in moking are readily accessible. And yet, it's a parallel to your situation. So if it's advisable to get moking out of the building, why isn't it advisable to get smoking out of the building?
I didn't see that coming.
I know you didn't. I just surprised you with that. How'd you like put an S on the end? And it was smoking.
Boy, that was something. Very good. You must have had this prepared beforehand.
I did not. I thought of this thing on the fly. Believe it or not.
Impressive.
Doesn't show, does it? Okay.
Well, I mean, I think we have to find out why the people are objecting to it. If they're objecting to it out of concern for the people who are engaging in moking,
right?
Then I think the situations are not parallel.
You don't think the government? You don't think that's part of the goal that's driving the directive here to take smoking out of the building? That there's some concern for the smokers themselves?
No, I don't believe so.
If that's the way you see it, I'll just drop that, and I'll just talk about the aspect of the thought experiment that becomes of great relevance, which is that the people witnessing it and coming into contact with it are affected in negative ways. I mean,
Let's say that they themselves are affected. They are disturbed. They are. They suffer some adverse consequences.
Which is plausible. Is it not? If you saw Devin in the other room cutting himself up with a knife and blood starts dropping on the floor, okay, and he this would be somewhat disruptive.
But yes, that's true. However, Devin seems to enjoy this activity.
This is totally hypothetical. I don't know how you're going to get out of this. I really don't. I mean, I think your intuition tells you, if I'm not mistaken, your intuition tells you that moking is a bad thing. And if the president of the company or the board decides to get it out of the building, they're making a really good decision. And why is it a good decision in the case of moking, not in the case of smoking? I don't understand. I mean, be honest now. If you don't feel that intuition, I mean, really, don't you feel that I'm right?
No. You knew that wasn't going to work.
That's true. I also... we got 1 minute before break time here. Okay. Well, you want to return to this, or do you want to get in your 2 cents here before we return to it?
I can, just say something quickly, and then we can break.
And we'll stop the camera. Okay.
I don't think these situations are parallel. We have the technology today to isolate the adverse effects of smoking... from other from other people. Right, well, secondhand smoke can be captured.
Well, that's true. And there would be a technology in the case of the analog for smoking. These would have to be sealed rooms where nobody else can see it.
Right.
There might be a suspicion about the activity people are engaging in. That alone might be sufficient to cause psychological difficulty.
You're,
but I will agree with you in the case of smoking, we can do it, and we'll come back and talk about that. You're talking, okay. about, you're talking about filtering technology.
Yes, okay. or encapsulation of everyone wearing yeah. gas masks.
That's yeah, there you go. We'll talk about that. We'll be back. We've reached the halfway point.